Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin in prayer. Almighty God, Holy One, before all time and beyond all time and everlasting after time, be here in this moment in such a manner that we hear the Gospel of John as you intended. Fantastic as it seems, help us grasp the truth of the words, even when our modern sensibilities desire to skeptically doubt. Instead, have the words jump off the pages and come alive in our hearts so that we believe and have the life you offer only through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we begin a journey in the Gospel of John. This journey will travel forward each of the worship times we gather together through Lent into Holy Week, Resurrection Sunday, and the Sunday of Easter. What this means that to be a part of that journey traveling together, plan your schedule now through April 3rd to attend worship each time we gather as the church. Include Sunday morning worships at 10:15 and weeknight worships at 7 p.m. for Ash Wednesday, the Thursdays in Lent, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday too. This gospel faith we share transforms individuals, groups of people, cities, regions, and even stretched out into the world, transforming nations across the globe. This faith, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, reveals to us the nature of God as triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and has spread love, liberty, and life, bringing real freedom because sins were forgiven, hearts redeemed, and souls transformed. Mercy conquered retribution. Forgiveness conquered hate, and compassion from broken souls brought transforming love of Jesus Christ throughout the world. This needs to happen in our day. It can and it will. Hear the words that change the world, and may they change your heart, transform your life in a manner totally unexpected. That you know, you have encountered the living God here. I begin near where we will end. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The disciple John writes very clearly the purpose of his book, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John wrote with the purpose to change you, to change everyone who encounters the words he wrote, to change you eternally, to take you from being dead in your sins and the darkness of that into the only life that is truly alive in the light of Christ. Life that is in Jesus' name, forgiven, redeemed, transformed life. Imagine growing up on the Sea of Galilee. Your earliest memories are filled with the aroma of fish. And fish smells are attached to just about everything in your home. For generations, the trade of fishing was your family trade. Fishing is all there was. Mending nets during the day and fishing through dusk and into the night. Odd hours, hard work. Some days there was bounty. Other days it was a bust. That was life. Age 5. I'm going to be a fisherman just like my father. Age 10. I'm going to be a fisherman like my father, like my grandfather, like my older brother. After years of waiting, now you're in the boat yourself. You're regularly hefting the nets into the water, casting them far, and hauling them in. This is life. Ah, the smell of fish. Life of a fisherman. Setting into the routine year after year with your brother James and your father Zebedee. This is life. Till that day that came and transformed everything you knew. A rabbi came into your life that had words of eternal life. Forgiveness, compassion, a living God who cares and desires to redeem. Come, follow me, the rabbi said. I'll make you a fisher of men. Along with your brother James, you leave all. You leave your father. You leave your family business. You leave your home. You leave all to follow. Now, years later, how do you express all that you experienced? How do you put into words that you followed, walked with, ate with, had seen the glory of God in Elijah and Moses on that mountaintop, spoke with Jesus? How do you put into words that rabbi that called you from your boat was really God in human flesh, crucified and risen, a man, yet God? Does that give you some sense of the task of the gospel writers? How do you put the inexpressible into words? Towards the end of his life, John put into words his testimony. Theologically, it is rich, contrasting light and darkness, death and life, writing down specific events that were signs to point to Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, making clear through the many I am declarations of Jesus. Jesus is God. How to begin writing? How to begin such a grand task? John starts right up front with the eternal divinity of the Son. It's echoing the words of Genesis. The Son is eternal, and the Son is creator, and all that came into being was created through the Son also. John 1, 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Life and light. Keep those two together. For the theme of light and life flows through the Gospel of John. Now, don't get confused with the apostle, the disciple John, and John the baptizer. Because now I'm going to speak a little about John the baptizer, Jesus' cousin, John the baptizer. John the baptizer was a witness to the light that was coming into the world. Yet even though the Son made the world did not recognize its maker. His own special chosen people, Israel, did not recognize him. The Apostle John, in writing this, is telling the truth of what took place. And at the same time is trying to open hearts to not make the same mistake as others have made, but instead to move the hearts of the hearers to recognize the Son of God. Do you recognize him? John 1, 12 and 13. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. To all who receive, those who believe, he gave the right. Let those words sink in. Receive. Receive what is offered. Don't refuse it nor reject it. Receive the person who brings what is offered, to give that person access to yourself. In other words, what the Greek is written trying to communicate to you is open your life, open your heart to Jesus. Believe, to put trust in, to place confidence in, conviction and trust in Jesus, that saving faith. Gave the right, bestowing of a gift, giving permission. Receive what is offered. Put your trust in what is offered you. And then you also, with that, receive permission. You're given the gift to have life in Jesus' name. What this means, the only way from the very beginning in John's testimony of the gospel to belong to God is through Jesus, who is the Christ. Open your life, completely trust Jesus is the Son of God. Become a child of God as a bestowed gift. It's given to you as a gift. Being a good person, following the golden rule, does not produce the right in you to become a child of God. Go ahead and say, look at all the good things I've done. See the way I've treated people. I'm a good person. Well, what about Jesus? I've lived life as fair as I could to all people, as I possibly could. I did them right. Now, welcome me as your child in heaven. It's my right. I spent a lifetime earning it. It's my right. I've earned it. You owe me. What about Jesus? Saving faith in Jesus is the only way. Jesus. And only Jesus, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus, the eternal Son, full of grace and truth, he has made the Father known, revealed to us the heart of God, the love of the Father in giving his only begotten Son. For us. Priests were sent to John the Baptizer in the wilderness, for there was such commotion taking place along the River Jordan. People were seeing and noticing God was moving there at the river. The people recognized the action of God was there in John the Baptizer's life. Consistently, John confessed freely he was not the Christ. John was simply the one sent ahead to point to another, to make way the straight way for the Lord by being that voice calling in the desert. I'm not him. Look for another. I baptize with water, but one among you whom you do not know, his sandals I am unworthy to untie. One day, John the Baptizer looks up and points to Jesus. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That man is the one revealed to me when I baptized him. As I poured the water over his head, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that that is the Son of God. Notice John the Baptizer, when he pointed to Jesus, said, Lamb of God. The perfect sacrifice for sin. This makes very clear to understand who Christ was and what Christ accomplished. Fulfilling the Old Testament sacrifice once and for all. And what makes this such good news of the gospel is that God provided the sacrifice that would truly forgive once and for all. Nothing more is needed. Nothing more is required. God, through Christ the Son of God, would redeem, set free, make all things new, open heaven, and bestow on us the right to become children of God. The Apostle John's testimony is such for you to put two and two together. The eternal God, the Word, is that perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. The one who created and in whom was life, and that light became flesh. That has become human to be the Savior. God became man for our sake. This is most unexpected and astonishing. God became human. The Apostle John was an eyewitness and knows from first-hand experience. And now you can know too. Heed the signs that John puts in his gospel. See, Jesus is the Christ. Respond. Respond to what you see and hear, like Andrew, Philip, and Nathanael responded, as recorded in the end of the first chapter of John. John wrote that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life in his name. I pray that these coming weeks, as we walk through the Gospel of John, each time we gather together to worship as the church, that you encounter Christ in such a new, powerful way that you respond and that you are transformed by this good news. You may say, I've been a Christian all my life. But we all know in each of us there is room to grow a deeper discipleship walk with Christ. Just as athletes know they need to improve their skills and understanding of the game, and just as musicians know they need to practice daily and grow in knowledge of the instrument they play, and students and teachers both alike continue to learn more each day, and all of them to become better athletes, more accomplished musicians, and students and teachers gain competence in subject matter, each of us has room to grow in wisdom and knowledge and fear of the Lord, to grow in Christian compassion for the lost, to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. This year, be the year when we are tremendously transformed by Christ. Amen. Amen.